welcome to Business Beat on 90.5 WICN. My name is David Ginsberg. Giselle Rivera-Flores is probably not joining us this week. I'm excited to welcome to Business Beat Renee McInnes of NVNA and Hospice, which is based on the South Shore. Renee is the CEO of NVNA and Hospice, as well as an MBA and an RN. Safe to say that you're an expert in your subject matter, Renee. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
It is our pleasure. There's a lot to talk about, and I think because the WICN listening audience tends to skew a little bit older, we have a lot of folks listening that are on Medicare now, as well as having questions. Some are sandwich generation folks that are dealing with parents who are aging while also still raising their children, and dealing with all of the elements that go into aging within that. But before we get into those topics, I just want to help the audience understand who you are and what you bring to the table. So if you would, please just tell us a little bit about your background, Renee.
Sure. I am a nurse, and I've worked in, you know, the hospital acute care setting, but also in home health and hospice and palliative care for many years, too many to say, and have been in this role as CEO for 10 years almost.
Wow.
Before that, held many different management roles, but also did case management in the hospital as well before I came back to this organization 10 years ago. So it's great to have both perspectives on what's happening in the acute care setting and what's happening in the subacute care setting. So,
without a doubt, I'm curious, how does all of that combined experience, all those different points of view that you've been able to absorb in your career, inform your approach to care now as the CEO of NVNA and Hospice?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I really think the continuum of care and the collaboration and communication, it has to improve. So healthcare, as you know, has been really disjointed and fragmented since COVID.
Yep.
Hasn't really, it probably was on the brink and that just gave it a little push, but there really needs to be improvement in the communication and collaboration through the continuum of care, better quality for patients, ease of discharge planning and transition to the home or wherever else they're going. So that I see as there's some roadblocks that really need to be worked on with our partners, which we are friendly partners with many health systems in our region, but working more together as a team, not competing, but working together to solve some of these problems so we can get patients out of the hospital timely, get them to the right care setting with the right care, and prevent them from going back in again.
For sure. That communication you speak of is so important, and it seems with all of our technological advances, communication among healthcare providers is still disjointed for some reason, and it certainly has been exacerbated by the pandemic and the fallout that stems from that.
100%. And resources, you know, like you still need people. So people resources have, technology's fantastic, having the electronic medical record that, you know, patients and families and physicians can see is great, but you also need, you need people. So there's a lot of things that are a sense of urgency that if you got a call back, you wouldn't end up in the emergency room or you wouldn't end up in urgent care, right? So just even from our perspective in home health and hospice, getting the call back that we need in order to do the care for our patients, if it's not timely and it's something that's urgent, then they're going to go to the hospital. So we're really trying to work hard on that communication and identifying people that we can contact, whether it's through secure Tiger Text or, you know, other kinds of apps maybe that we can use to be able to communicate with people more urgently than waiting for the end of the day when the nurse or somebody in the doctor's office gets back to you. So
right,
we are working on some of those ideas, but it has to be adopted sort of by everyone has to buy into it, right?
For sure. And that's a big part of it. And it just seems that it becomes limited resources at hospitals and care providers, and patients are overwhelmed, and care providers for those patients get overwhelmed. And it leads to a confluence of issues that could be avoided with better technology and better fundamental communication. A better desire to communicate overall, it would seem, would be a great starting point.
Exactly. 100%.
And one of the things I wanted to ask you about, Renee, on this topic, and for those listening that don't know, NVNA Hospice is based in Norwell, Massachusetts, on the South Shore. I know, as in my other role here as the general manager of the station, we have a lot of folks that stream us from the South Shore. So if you're streaming us right now, whether Norwell, Hingham, Scituate, wherever you may be, this is of import to you. There's often a misunderstanding and confusion over what palliative care is versus what hospice care is. And I'm hoping that you might be able to shed some light on those differences and what you provide through NVNA and hospice for both palliative care and hospice care so people understand what those options may be.
Absolutely. And for the listeners, we do cover quite a big area, so 27 towns from Quincy all the way to Plymouth, out to the Bridgewaters and all the coastal towns as well. And we're growing and expanding. So we are the only organization doing what we call primary palliative care in the home. So yes, we work closely with the hospital palliative care team, but we have a palliative care program that really is part of our serious illness program. So what is that? So that's serious illness, chronic disease, right? So it doesn't necessarily mean that you are hospice even eligible at that point in time, but you have a chronic disease, you have a serious illness, you want to have a better quality of life at home, and you don't want to be going in and out of the hospital for exacerbations of your disease. So it could be congestive heart failure, it could be chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, it could be cancer and you're receiving treatment. There's many illnesses, pain, chronic pain.
Mm-hmm.
So we work with patients. Most of our referrals come from the physicians, some from the hospitals, but we like to work with patients early on so that we can really affect their quality of life and give them back some independence. So we meet with patients, talk about goals of care. What are your goals of care? What do you want? What does it look like for you? Whether it's getting out and driving and going to the grocery store. So we have a physician oversight, of course. We have nurse practitioners that lead this team that do consults. And then we have nurses that are certified in palliative care that are case managers for these patients. And we're training all our staff across the board to be palliative, either certified or educated at a higher level in these chronic diseases and caring for patients with palliative care needs, working in collaboration with the nurse practitioners.
Wow.
So that's really, that's a simplified way of describing palliative care. For some patients, it's palliation for a while and then it's transfer to hospice, but for other patients, it's not. So I think it is a scary word to people, just like hospice is a scary word to people.
Yep.
But we always try to explain how it's really a rich benefit with lots of support. So social worker and a chaplain or any other person that you may want to talk to if you have spiritual needs. So it's really giving you and your family or your caregiver support and understanding your disease and how to manage it better and manage your symptoms so that you can have a better quality of life. So that's the overall goal. And with hospice, it's the same thing, right? So it's really giving patients and families the support they need for end-of-life care. And hopefully that end-of-life is not too short because the rich benefits should really be earlier on in their trajectory. But it's still something that is mystified to people. So
people often seem to think that hospice care is sort of a short, it's 3 days and then the person passes on. Hospice can last a long time.
Exactly, yes. And the benefit is when you get that benefit earlier on in your disease process, you get the benefit of working with all these professionals to really help you and your family to be able to have your end of life to be symptoms managed and taking pressure off the family, helping you to understand how this is all going to work. Who are the caregivers? How can we help you? How is this? And then talking about if most patients do want to pass at home, but not everybody, right?
Right.
We also have a 12-bed residential hospice home, and it's really beneficial for sometimes you don't have a caregiver. Sometimes there's not people in the home that can help and care, administer medication, and so on. And also, sometimes people are tired. The caregivers are tired, and they just want to be family or friends, and they all the care is delivered at the hospice house. But you can be there as much as you want to be able to offer your support, but you're not the caregiver.
That's a really important distinction, Renee, in that both in hospice care, and I can tell you this from personal experience, having been through it with my dad, who was on home hospice for 10 months before he passed, it's a relief for the caregivers for sure, so that the burden isn't entirely on you, and burden may not be the right word, but the burden of delivering that care every single day, especially if you're an older spouse with your own health issues, or an older, you know, as people live longer, we now have adult children, you know, in their 70s taking care of 90-something-year-old parents, and they have their own aches and pains to deal with, you know, which is a big part of this. It's also, at a fundamental level, both for palliative and hospice, to me, something we talk about in the show a lot is the dignity of the individual. No matter where you come from, your circumstances in life, everybody's entitled to their dignity, and hospice really delivers that dignity for the person so that whether they're at home or at the Pat Roach Hospice House that NVNA offers, that you maintain that dignity through the end of life. And I think that's such an important part because it's the family that's and the friends that are left behind that are able to remember the person in that moment receiving that quality of care, that sense of dignity they're entitled to, rather than just, you know, being left in a hallway somewhere in a hospital, as often happens.
100%. I mean, every patient deserves a dignified death. Every patient. And that is what hospice offers. But also, I think people, when they shy away from the word or they shy away from the services, it's really such a rich benefit, as I said, because it's education also. It's understanding and educating the family and the patient. As a patient, and you're getting to end of life, or you're thinking, okay, I don't know, maybe they say to you, it's probably 6 months, or it's probably, you know, you've met with your team at the hospital, whatever. How is this going to go? And that's a question that our patients ask, usually when they're alone with the staff, the nurse or the chaplain or the social worker, how is this going to go? Because think about it, that's a legitimate question.
Sure. Right?
When you're looking at it in the face and you're saying, well, how's this going to go? And I've heard some incredible stories about how they walk this through with patients and families. And the stress level just goes down. The anxiety goes down. The feeling of hopelessness goes down. It's, we're all here to take care of you. And this is what, you know, what we're offering you. And this is how it's going to go. And just a lot of fears that people have that they need to talk to someone about.
Yeah. It's, I know we have a little bit of time left before we take a break, but I know that for a lot of hospice patients, that when they first begin hospice treatment, they actually have a bit of a rebound because of what you just said, that stress level is reduced, there's a clear path of how the process is going to work, and they essentially let go of all of that fear and anxiety and can just enjoy being cared for, and as a result, tend to have at least a brief bounce back in their quality of life.
Yeah, exactly.
It's an incredible thing. We will be back with more of our conversation with Renee McInnes from NVA and Hospice here on 90.5 WICN. This is Business Beat. Stay tuned.
No matter what you call this season, autumn or fall, this is a great time of year.
La-di-da, da-da-di-da, tis autumn.
It's 90.5 days of pleasant temperatures, colorful leaves, cozy fires, pumpkin pies, and the great music on 90.5 WICN.
But the days grow short when you reach September.
September morning still can make me feel that way.
Enjoy this great season, whatever you call it, autumn or fall, and enjoy the great music that goes along with it on 90.5 WICN.
Support for WICN comes from M. Love & Associates, certified public accountants with offices in Worcester, Grafton, and Holden. Information on their accounting, auditing, and tax services is at 508-797-5200 or mla-cpa.com.
Hi, this is Uncle Mark.
And the lovely Sheila.
Join us on the first and third Mondays of every month from 10 p.m. to midnight for an eclectic mix of rock on Positive Noise.
Here on 90.5 WICN and streaming at WICN.org.
And we are back on Business Beat on 90.5 WICN. David Ginsberg here with Renee McInnes from NVNA and Hospice in Norwell. And we were talking before the break about palliative care and hospice care, end-of-life care. Before we get to that stage, we do want to talk about Medicare as we're coming upon the open enrollment period for Medicare and Medicare Advantage plans. For a lot of WISN listeners, this is an important part of time. There's also, that rolls with that, a lot of confusion that comes with Medicare and Medicare Advantage. And I'm curious, Renee, if you can shed some light. Medicare changes every year, it seems, and in some years more distinctly than others. What should WISN's listeners be aware of for the upcoming enrollment period?
I'm glad you asked that question, David, because it's so complicated for people to understand. And it's complicated to dive through all the different options that you have, right? So much information thrown at you and, you know, sent to you from Medicare and other, you know, Medicare Advantage plans. So Medicare, traditional Medicare, A and B is, you know, A is for the hospital. So over 65, you should sign up for Medicare A. If you're still working and you have insurance, you don't have to sign up for Medicare B at that time. But once you do retire and you don't have insurance through your company, then you need to look at, okay, Medicare A and B. B is for outpatient and, you know, co-pays and so on. And then you need a supplement for medications, right? So whether that's D or whatever you decide. So there's two ways you can do it. You can have traditional Medicare, and then you pay for a Blue Cross MedEx or Tufts or Harvard Pilgrim. They all offer a supplement plan to your Medicare to cover the other costs. Okay, so your medications and other co-pays and so on.
Okay.
So you can take that route, which means you have the control is with you. You don't have to get referrals. You don't have to have, you know, your primary care refer you. You can go anywhere. You can travel. You take it with you everywhere, right? So no questions. You go where you need to go. You get the care you need to get. You can pick the specialists and the doctors that you want to see. Medicare Advantage is like an HMO. So it is Medicare has given your Medicare dollars to different companies, you know, Humana, United, Tufts, Blue Cross, and they have a Medicare Advantage plan, which they offer you. It's almost like a one-stop shopping, they say. So it looks attractive because the monthly premium is less than what you'll pay with traditional Medicare with the supplement I talked about. The difference is you will have some restrictions on access to certain physicians, access to certain subacute facilities, access to some home health agencies. So you will have less choice.
Okay.
On where you can go, and it would have to be in network. So it can be more restrictive. So you need referrals, and certain things are covered. There's authorizations. So for the providers, meaning hospitals, physician practices, subacute rehab, nursing homes, home health, it's a complicated process. So it's more authorizations, it's waiting for authorization. So you could be waiting for care, it could be delayed because of the authorization process. Certain things could be denied. So you have to be very on top of where you're going, staying in network, making sure that you, when you look at these plans, educate yourself and find out other physicians that you're interested in seeing and the hospital system is, and, you know, if you needed to go to rehab, are they in that network? Are they one of the choices that you would have? It's also limited when you travel. So there is also referrals and authorizations when you travel.
Yep.
So those are the differences. It's because the Medicare Advantage plans traditionally for home health, and I know from my colleagues in other post-acute settings and the hospital and physicians as well, the reimbursement is a lot less. And so therein lies the reason why the choice is left, because several practices don't take the insurance. It's limited, and some of the home health agencies don't take the commercial payers or Medicare Advantage. So that's where you have to kind of look at, you know, what are your options?
If I could jump in for a second, I would also suggest for the people listening that if you're already having difficulty, if you're still managing your own health care and you find it more difficult to navigate this process, a Medicare Advantage may not be the best option, aside from what Renee just stated, but also because the complexity of dealing with the program could be overwhelming for people.
Right. It can be. And I think, you know, this is why I say to people, educate yourself.
Mm.
What's right for me might not be right for you, and vice versa. So educate yourself, understand what you're actually getting, understand that if you do need to go, we get calls sometimes from patients wanting to go to a different subacute and calling us because we have a navigator program, so we help people navigate. Gee, I can't go to that rehab. I can't go to this rehab. They said I can go to that rehab. What do you think? And so, if it's not a rehab they want to go to, or it's not one that's really considered the best for them,
yep,
then it's a complicated scenario, because you can only sign up at open enrollment. So you have to wait a year to get back on traditional Medicare.
Which can be devastating for people. That can be a long time to wait.
Right. So I just say educate yourself, because you want to make sure you know what you're paying for. So look at what you're paying for, and if you have a trusted advisor, a financial person that helps you with your retirement plan, anybody that you trust in estate planning or planning for retirement, you know, you might want to talk to them too, because you really want to look at, and I understand budgetary concerns for people, you know, so premiums
sure
are more when you do the traditional route, so they have to really think about that, and I understand that, but I would say, you know, just educate yourself. I would just continue to say that, and really have someone help you, because it is overwhelming to look at all the information.
It is. And I can, you know, I've told the story on this show a couple of times, but I'm going to share it again, considering the topic we're discussing, which is when my dad first got sick, he had enrolled in Medicare in his early 60s, as people do, and was still working full time. And, you know, part of the reason he got sick was he never went to a doctor. But after his first hospitalization, I had picked him up, and I had stopped at CVS to get his medications, and the out-of-pocket cost was over $700 for his medications.
Oh, my God.
And I said, this is crazy. Don't you have drug coverage? And he said, no, I never enrolled in Part D. So I got him enrolled in Part D, but for the remainder of his life, we paid a penalty for that Part D coverage because he was being penalized for not enrolling in the program when he enrolled in Medicare.
Right.
And even though he hadn't enrolled in a program that taxpayers pay for, he was being penalized for not using the program. So it's one of those things that when you're enrolling, even if you don't think you're going to need it now, enroll now so you avoid any penalties and headaches. Even more importantly, the stress that can come with that at an acute moment. You know, it's one thing to deal with a crisis when you're in a calm environment. It's another to deal with a crisis when you're already in a crisis. And there's a way to avoid that, to your point, about educating yourself about all the different aspects of Medicare and Medicare Advantage and the different plans and what they include. And to that, I would ask, you mentioned in your answer about your Navigator program, and I'm wondering if you could shed a little bit more light on what NVNA's Navigator 27 program is all about.
Right. So this came out of actually several board members and different people that I was working with said, you know, they usually called me or a couple of the other nurses that they knew, you know, we would pay anything to have a Navigator, like someone help us, like, you know, Mom-in-law comes to live with you and she's got dementia. Oh, my God, I don't even know what to do. How do I handle this?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of services are out there? How's this going to go? Blah, blah, blah. So also, people that were in the hospital or other post-acute areas, and they would call and ask questions of myself and several of other nurses. I don't know where to go or what to do. I can't take her home. It's unsafe. She lives alone. What are we going to do? And these are our finances. And so we would help them navigate, okay, here are your choices, here are your options. And we decided to start this program, and it is so busy. So this is the lead program manager for this director is Noreen Cataldo. She is a case manager, certified RN case manager. She has a certification, and she's amazing. And she had worked for an insurance company at one point in time, so was on the other side in the hospital working with patients in terms of what would be eligible and so on. So she gets both sides of the coin. But we are so busy with people calling just to help them navigate, my mom needs assisted living or memory care, or I'm in a rehab and now they say I need to leave and I'm not ready and I don't have anybody at home that can help me. What am I going to do? So these are the kind of cases that we get. Also, people just looking for help with the family, maybe the six kids, and mom has dementia, and we don't know what to do, and we need someone to come meet with us because we're all on a different page, right?
Yeah.
So it's just, there's a whole scope of calls that we get, but it's such a needed service, and it is private pay, and, you know, we don't ask for a big upfront flat fee. We just get a slight, small deposit, and it's $180 an hour, $150 an hour, excuse me. And so sometimes the kids will pool their money together and say, you know, it might only cost them $500 for the advice they need and the help and the guidance to get them where they need to be. So it's not a huge outlay like some of concierge services people shy away from.
Yep.
You know, you need to give me a $10,000 deposit or something. So it's not that. It's really, the program is really to help our community and to help our own patients and families. But it's really about helping the community and so that people know that we're there and they can call us and we'll help them navigate.
It's a tremendous advantage. And the last thing I want to talk to you about, Renee, we have 2 minutes left in the show, so I want to just do this quickly, but I know you're a wellness expert, and you certainly know how to remain healthy.
Yeah.
People generally are living longer and staying healthier now than ever before, and, you know, with that comes both a longer life expectancy and planning for that financially and medically, but also, you know, people go through, you know, a lot of joint replacements and remain active and vibrant beyond that into their 70s and 80s, in some cases even well into their 90s. What can people do, for people listening to WISN right now that might be in their 50s and 60s that are beginning to feel the aches and pains of age, and what can they do to remain healthy and vibrant as the golden years encroach?
Oh, my God, this is like my favorite subject. You know?
We'll have to have you back for another episode.
This is my favorite subject. We actually just had one of our physicians that's on our board who is a cardiologist, retired, and he's a lifestyle medicine physician, board certified, and he gave a lecture on food. So truly, really truly, anti-inflammatory diet, which is less processed food. If you read ingredients and there's more than five, you really shouldn't be eating it. Really trying to eat more fruits and vegetables. This is what's in, you know, the Ozempic and all of that, right? It's really the same. GLP-1 is what's in fruits and vegetables that makes you satiated. So exercise is so important. Strength training, if you're in your 50s and 60s, strength training is so critical. Balance, you know, all of those exercises. But diet is huge. And, you know, I know people hate to hear this, but limit your alcohol because it really is inflammatory. It's inflammatory, and it really does sort of accelerate some of these diseases. And, you know, everything comes from inflammation, right? Joint problems, high blood pressure, heart disease. So many diseases can be reversed or cured with diet and exercise. So that would be my advice, is really, truly, it's your food, you are what you eat, and exercise is so important. I don't have any magic pills or anything, but...
That's okay. But I do think, you know, we're out of time for this episode, Renee. I would love to have you come back to Business Beat and talk specifically about health and wellness. I know you're an expert in this realm, and we've spoken about this separately in previous occasions. I would love to have you come back on the show if you're open to it and talk health and wellness for adults and seniors as they approach the golden years.
100%, and we want to prevent Alzheimer's, right? We want to prevent dementia. So, yes.
Absolutely. For interest in NVNA and hospice and what they do, you can learn more by going to nvna.org. N as in Nancy, V as in Victor, N as in Nancy, A as in Andrew, nvna.org. Renee McGinnis, thank you so much for taking the time to join us on Business Beat this week on WICN.
Thank you so much. so much. Nice to talk to you, David. Thank you.
You as well. Thanks, everybody. Here's to good business.